Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that provides recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. I'm your host, Cam Wells. First up in our show, we'll hear an interview that was recorded when the COVID-19 quarantine measures were first beginning. Next segment of our show, we'll hear a little bit about how the coronavirus has impacted children with disabilities who are being homeschooled. Tell us about that is our friend, Kate Jean Corbett Pollock. So, with the recent health situation out there, what's the potential impact for children with disabilities in a homeschooling setting?
Well, one impact that it could have on children with disabilities is that there's just more isolation and being in close quarters with family that can lead to frustration. If a child with disabilities has been in school and has been, you know, sent home because of the virus, my concern about that is that people will become frustrated with having to deal with the child's disabilities. And that can lead to abuse. So if a child's already in a homeschool, that could be an issue as well.
So I'd imagine there's severe mental health impact on everyone being isolated and in close quarters, which could lead to just its own disability, so to speak.
Yes, I think so. It can definitely be a challenge for people that are not used to being alone. Some people in the disability community are sort of laughing right now because we're used to quarantining ourselves, especially people with chronic illness. I have chronic illness, so I'm often home resting, so it's not super unusual to me. But for some people, it really is a big change. And I've been concerned about families being together in the house, feeling isolated, and getting that cabin fever kind of issue that can happen when you're isolated at home with just your family members. And I think that it certainly can impact health. I've been seeing some articles about the impact on depression. For example, having to stay home can certainly exacerbate mental health issues. Unless you enjoy staying home and it's restful for you.
That's the thing, though. In any situation, having that over a long period of time would take its toll. Doesn't matter how much you enjoy it, past a certain point, you're going to miss human contact.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think that it's just kind of unnatural for people. Most people in this world do need human contact to some degree. And we are pretty social. So after a while, it will be interesting to see how long it's going to take everybody to be in quarantine for. And I think as it goes on, it's going to probably get worse for certain people who already have a disability that might be exacerbated by the situation.
Well, one of the challenges I've been hearing a lot about is fact that people with mobility challenges are having an even harder time getting basic relief and basic supplies for these conditions. It's elbow to elbow in stores out there.
can't be doing wonders for those who can't get around as easily.
Yes, there are a lot of issues happening for disabled people right now. And for example, one of my friends is intellectually disabled and he relies on a private company that provides assistance to him, like a personal care assistance. And it's not through the state. He was unable to get services through the state, so he got a private service. And this person would help him do everything, especially things like getting groceries and cooking and cleaning and all kind of stuff just around the house. If he needs to go to the doctor, you know, he has this person who is his assistant come help him, and that's been suspended. So he doesn't have access to that assistant right now.
So,
because everybody, you know, is working at home or not working.
So how do people in that situation cope with such things? I mean, what would you say is the most important thing they can do to cope with it and to find the right balance?
The best thing to do is to reach out to your community, to your friends and family. If you have family in the area, my friend unfortunately does not have family in the area. I said, just message me. You know, if you have any kind of problem, message me. But one thing that the community here has been putting together is a mutual aid group. And it's online, it's on Facebook. We have a group, and there are many disabled people in this group. So if we can help each other out, somebody sends a message to the group, you know, I need this, maybe I need a ride somewhere, whatever it might be. And we see if we can pull that together, pull those resources together in the community and help that person out. So I told my friend with intellectual disability to join the group, and we'll see, you know, if he needs anything. And I said, don't let it get bad. Just message me. You can't call me on the phone, really. I'm deaf, but just, you know, we message all the time. And if you need food, just don't let it get bad. You know, tell somebody. People out there want to help you.
So, has there been any success in providing this mutual support that you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of communities, marginalized communities and minority communities already have a system like that. They might not have a name for it, but it's people coming together in the neighborhood or the community to help each other out. And in the disability community, among my disabled friends, you know, we're always there for each other because we understand that there are things that we all can't just do and that we all need help for. And we need to look out for each other because sometimes it's difficult to ask and maybe you need to ask on behalf of somebody else. So we've kind of had that system. But now, you know, people are making this into a wider system that encompasses more of the community and is more organized. So there has been some success with that, you know, just helping people like elderly people in the community, for example, bringing them food, coming over, checking on them, things like that. Even just really simple stuff like giving somebody a ride. That's a big deal. A lot of disabled people don't drive. So an Uber can be very expensive or maybe it's not available.
Or
so
maybe,
just having that is good.
Or maybe be the more common case. Most vehicles for public transit aren't made as accessible as they could be, so to speak. A lot of them don't have ramps built in.
Yeah, I mean, public transit, unfortunately, in this city has been cut. The bus lines have been cut a lot, and it's difficult for someone with certain types of disabilities. If you have intellectual disability, for example, it can be a challenge to take the bus. If you're deaf or blind, it can be a challenge to take the bus. And we need to make that better, but also just cutting the route. A lot of the buses don't run on the weekends here.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay.
Next up in our show, we're going to hear from a CIC student who communicates through a voice box controlled by the movements of his head.
This next segment of our show, we'll hear from CIC student Nicholas Irving. So tell me a little bit about yourself, your disability, and the program you're in at St. Clair.
My name is Nicholas. I am 22 years old. I have cerebral palsy. I go to school at St. Clair College. I'm taking business marketing and other classes.
So that's part of the CIC program.
With my disability, I can do limited things, but I try doing everything.
So, what sorts of adaptations do you use in your work?
It takes me more time to do work than most people. Someone helping me in my classes.
So, have you found there have been a lot of supports from the school to help you get an education?
Yes.
Have there been any challenges you can tell me about?
It takes me more time to do work than most people.
So, what do you hope to do with your education when you graduate?
I hope to find something that.
My friends, Nicholas's interview represents just how far we've come as a society. For the truth is, years ago, someone who couldn't communicate in a traditional sense would not have been able to participate in an educational setting. The truth of the matter is, we as a people have to include all, or by definition, we're including no one. The impossible standard means that if you can find one reason not to include someone, you can find a million more. You end up building yourself a wall that no one gets over. And it's situations where we recognize locked inside each of us is potential, hopes, dreams, and capabilities that we really start to create. Fact is, we don't know how far a person can or will go, but we have to give them the tools to find that out for themselves. I've been so privileged over time to speak to so many remarkable people who have just done what the world might not have expected. But how do we get the world to expect people to accomplish? By defying those expectations, by going out there, living with strength, living with dignity, and just being what we are, intelligent, capable people. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Brain injury is the leading killer and disabler of people under the age of 44 and kills more people under the age of 20 than any other causes combined. Texting or talking on a cell phone while operating a motorized vehicle can lead to serious car crashes, brain injuries, or death. Take the pledge and help put a stop to distracted driving. Go to leavethephonealone.ca to make a pledge to drive only and never text. Everyone deserves to travel on our roads and communities without the fear of a distracted driver.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that provides recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard about the effect of COVID-19 on children with disabilities being homeschooled, and from CIC student Nicholas Irving. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from our friend Kerry Wright, who'll be telling us a little bit about a tragic situation he's been going through. So,
You were telling me you were recently involved in a fire.
Yes, it was quite a devastating one to us, and we did get out and nobody was hurt, so I guess that's all that really matters.
So, what was the cause of the situation?
We're thinking it was most likely a lithium polymer battery that was in the garage. That's what it looks like they pointed towards.
So, in working with the insurance to rebuild, what sort of accessibility considerations have come into play?
Well, what they're going to do is replace the house, the value of whatever was there, because we had replacement value on it. So they will take, and they're going to redraw the plans of the old house that we had, put it out to tender, and we can take that value and make it any way we want.
And given that you're a quadriplegic, as we've discussed, what sort of accessibility features did you have in the previous house?
Well, I had ramps between the different levels. We had the widened hallways or doorways. What else do we have? We had a wheel-in shower bathroom that was kind of like a big car wash, which worked really good. And we had rail systems in the ceilings. And of course, you know, I had Alexa that was helping me turn everything on and off.
Were there any challenges in day-to-day life with all those systems in place?
Mostly we were working all the bugs out over the last 10 years. And we had almost everything so that I could get in and out of the house any place I wanted to. But there were still ramps. Ramps are always a challenge. Sills in doorways are always a challenge. You can always get stuck on those. And so there was always little bugs we could work on.
So, given the recent COVID-19 situation, has it been anything of a challenge to get insurance help or arrange transportation?
It has been, the community I live in has been just absolutely amazing and rallied around us. And a friend has loaned me a wheelchair van because the van, I had two wheelchair vans and they both went up in smoke in the fire also. So that's a big life changer for me not to be mobile. So I was very thankful for that.
So what message would you send to your community in regards to how they've rallied around you?
I can't say enough about them. Like, I thought the world of this community beforehand, and I'm totally blown away with the response I've had with friends, family, the community, and there's even people across the whole country that have helped out to get us, you know, back to some sort of semblance of normal life.
So, to change gears a little bit, you and I had talked a little bit about the ongoing virus situation, and do you think there's been any mental health strain on the community as a whole?
I think there has been. Like, the people, of course, everybody is shut in a lot more, and our new normal has changed us a lot. And maybe that's partially, you know, they want a feel-good story also. And maybe that has been part of the outreach of such fantastic people that we've experienced in the last few weeks.
So, what are the next steps in rebuilding?
Well, we are going to get the plans done on it. The place is cleaned up. We lost everything, like all of my modified equipment, like wheelchairs and all that stuff. Vans, everything. So, you know, every day I look around and I see something that's missing. And so what we're doing now, the first thing will be to get a vehicle so I can get around. And then from then on, we're going to start rebuilding the house.
So What message would you send to the disability community that might be facing a similar situation?
I would say when you insure your house, make sure you have lots of contents insurance. Disability equipment is very, very expensive. So you want to make darn sure that you're covered very well. And then make sure you document everything that you own and buy. Like take a camera or a video system, a video camera, a 360 camera, something like that. And make sure you have pictures of everything that you own. Because when you go through the contents with the adjuster, it is item by item by item. And you want to hit your maximum of what your contents are.
So, have you found the insurance company to be helpful in this process?
Very, very much so. We are very impressed with the insurance we have. Yeah, they've been very good.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this.
Thank you.
Of course.
Isn't it funny, my friends, how the worst in situations can bring out the best in us? People rallied around Carrie to make sure he was taken care of. People have come together in ride sharing and just making sure that others have their needs met. And that represents something the disability community has known all along, that we are stronger united. I've always said that people with disabilities, especially in athletics, they're always out there just doing their thing. They're not thinking about quote-unquote limitations. They're just doing what they enjoy doing. And that is an amazing thing. For the fact is, there is a sense of freedom, but also a sense of community. And now more than ever, in the middle of this pandemic, which the world has not known anything even close to for over 100 years, people need each other now more than ever. It's kind of funny also. Right now, we would expect the exact opposite of what we've seen in some ways. People would expect to see basically the worst in us. Everyone for themselves. Everyone hoarding supplies and just staying away from others for fear of having what they have taken. And yeah, there's been some reflection of this in those who have done things like the hoarding of toilet paper, what have you. But really, there's another side to this whole situation. It's brought people together. And the idea that things matter more than just the day-to-day pettiness that we keep on our hearts and minds so often. Having had a chance to reflect myself on the people and the situations that matter most in my life, I've come to the conclusion that this can be a curse, or it can be a time and an opportunity to reassess what it is that really speaks to our lives. And I hope all those out there are taking some time just to consider, is it really worth the argument? Is it really worth staying away from somebody because you disagree with how they live their lives or their background or whatever? In the face of a situation as big and as imposing as this pandemic has been, just kind of puts that sort of pettiness to shame. I mean, for people with disabilities, yeah, there has been some difficulty with mobility and being able to do what needs to be done. But access to services, at least here in Canada, as far as I've been told, it's providing for their needs. Is it perfect? No, nothing ever is. But people are trying. They're really making an effort just to stand for their fellow human beings. The disability community has always been a great example of this, because even in times when it's just two people with disabilities talking, there can be this connection that
though they move a certain way, or think a certain way, or speak a certain way, that among themselves you would find there's this unspoken understanding that these are people with whom they belong. But if I'm to give a balanced perspective, I must also acknowledge the fact that in the middle of this, there is a great mental health strain being put on a lot of people. And that, given the limited places we can go, people we can see, can be a bit of a challenge to overcome. But I maintain it's possible. I know it takes a certain amount of introspection to recognize that a situation is difficult and that we might need help just to talk to someone. Pride has never once solved a disability that I can think of. Because, well, at times we all need some help. People with disabilities, by and large, they need that extra support. And, well, this is just a time when the rest of society is learning what we've all known all along. The people are just better as a community. Even if that community can't be in the same physical space, they can still be there for each other. And that, my friends, is how we stave off the mental health strain. That, my friends, is how we keep this from becoming an even worse situation. The effect of cabin fever we've been experiencing, at least many of us, might be a temporary disability, but it is a disability. I mean, being stuck inside, facing that depression, facing that fear, that loneliness, it's not just going to blink out of existence the second we're able to go back to our jobs, schools, places we like to frequent. And psychological weight is very real, especially those out there who have lost someone to this. That weight, it's going to be a difficult battle. But I maintain, with strength and with dignity, a person can come through anything. With the appropriate supports, with friends and family beside us, we can and will endure as a people. Seriously, this pandemic has been a test of really what we're made of in society, what we're capable of doing, what we're capable of being, what we're capable of surviving. Now, I've heard a lot of cases where people with disabilities have been able to adapt their work to work from home. And now a lot of able-bodied people are doing the same thing. That's great. It sets a precedent that more opportunities exist than we just tend to see on the surface. More potential exists for a person than just the obvious. And if we can find ways to allow individuals to work from home, why can't we find ways to adapt the work someone who might have a mobility challenge or might have a reaction to certain types of lighting? The possibilities are just endless. If we as a people pass this test, we will be stronger on the other side. And that kind of strength is not going away either. I mean, it's easy to look at a problem and declare it impossible. It's the brick wall no one wants to get over. Till someone does, then that wall crumbles. You know what happens at that point, my friends? Progress. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one, and a safe one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.